greatest story ever told. Luke 1. And we're going to start on verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. That is the birth of Jesus. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she will, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. We're going to stop right there for a minute. An angel appeared to Mary. And Mary was going to be married. Mary was going to be married. That's a tongue twister. Mary was going to be married to Joseph. And so an angel appeared to her and told her, "You are highly favored, right? You have found favor with God, right?" Now, it's interesting because at the end there, verse 38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Basically, what Mary said was, "Let your will be done. Let your will be done upon my life." Now, imagine this, okay? Mary, an ordinary person, just by her saying, "Let your will be done," it's amazing how God can use a normal person to accomplish the greatest miracle, right? Now, I didn't say anything about Mary being extraordinary or anything. She just said she was favored. God saw favor with her. She was an ordinary, and at this time, she was actually a teenager. And so God saw her and wanted to use her to bring the greatest gift of all, right? Jesus Christ. Now, she could have said, "No, God, I don't want to." But she said, "Let your will be done in my life." That's amazing to me, how God can use an ordinary person to do something amazing. Amen? So it says right here, God, you will call him Jesus, right? He is the Lord. All these things. So the angel appeared to her. She was probably frightened, you know. I know a lot of times you see angels and they're this little cute baby angels flying around. That's really not the truth. Angels are pretty huge and big and scary. And when they come, they got this, you know, big presence. And so she was scared, but God gave her favor and told her she was going to be born, that she was going to born Jesus Christ, right? So let us go to, let's skip over to Luke 2. verse 1. Now, I want to tell you something real quick, how this is, because in those days, she was a virgin, and in those days, if people would have found out that she was pregnant, they would have stoned her because she wasn't married yet. They would have killed her. So God protected her through all that. And as you read, you will see that God protecting them, Joseph, and everything to bring Jesus Christ. So let's go to the birth of Jesus. Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governed of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest rooms available for them. Let's stop real quick. So they went there and there was no rooms, right? Now, someone's going to have to do some explaining there, okay? The guy that refused them and said, oh, we ain't got no rooms for you, he's going to have some explaining to do when he gets to heaven, right? I can just imagine that, being that guy, right? They refused him. And so they went to a manger, a barn, a stable, the filthiest places with animals, right? That's where Jesus was born. How amazing is that? Now God could have said, God could have put him somewhere in the kingdom. He could have put him somewhere in the palace. He could have put him somewhere, you know, in a big mansion somewhere, being born on a great, but Jesus came and he wasn't afraid to get dirty, right? He came to the lowest of lows because he wanted us to know that he is not afraid to come to the lowest of lows for us. Amen? That's amazing to me. He didn't have to. If I was God and I would have had the choice, I probably would have been at the best Holiday Inn or, you know, big resort or something, right? But so Joseph and Mary went and they were looking for a room. They couldn't find a room. The person said, oh, we don't have no room for you. We don't have no room for you to have your kid. We don't have no room for you guys. There's a stable out there. Now, to me, that guy, he's got a lot of explaining to do, because when he stands before God and Jesus is like, really? Hey, I have no room for you, right? He's got a lot of explaining to do. Now let us read verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So there again, there's these shepherds, and they're out in the field with their sheep, their flock, and how amazing again, God chooses these people, right? He could have chose kings to come out to tell them the first news of God being born, right? He could have chose the biggest, most important people at that time. But how amazing is that? God sent an angel to some shepherds out in the field to tell them, I have good news. Jesus Christ is born. There again, they get scared, right? They get scared. See, angels ain't all cute and bubbly like we all think they are. They're pretty scary. They're angels. They're army. They're rough, you know? Let us read from there. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." That was verse 10. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." So the angels are telling them, "You're going to go see the baby. You're going to find him wrapped in a manger, in a stable." Verse 13. "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God, the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those whom is his favor rest.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has appeared, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." We'll stop there for that one. And so these shepherds, they hurried off and went to see the baby Jesus. And there he is in a manger, probably some animals. It probably stinks. It probably, you know, bad situation, muddy. Right? And so they go see him, and there he is, our Christ, our Savior, born. And now, how amazing is this? Because they didn't just, okay, that's cool. No. They go out and they run and tell some more people about what has happened, right? Because this is the greatest thing that ever has happened to the world. And so when the greatest thing happens to the world, you can't keep it inside of you. You have to let somebody know. Why would you keep the Savior, this great miracle, from everybody else? So they ran off. They told everybody, "Come check this out." And so they did. But it amazes me. Like I said, the Savior of the world, born in a manger, our King, born in a filthy, stinky stable, right? And there again, the angel appears to these ordinary people just working out in the fields. Ordinary people to see this extraordinary blessing. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And if you read chapter 1, you could do that on your own time because it's a bunch of names. And it's probably not the funnest chapter to read because it's just the names saying, this is the genealogy where Jesus came from. You know, he was from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And it's just going on and on and on, reading off the names of where exactly where Jesus came from. And last week I was talking about that, how it was prophesied exactly through the line where he would come from. And so this is just letting you know where he came from. And last week also it was about him being born in Bethlehem and all these things that were prophesied. And coming true right now. Matthew 2, chapter 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of all the Jews. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Let's stop right here. Magi. These are what you see in the stories, the three wise men. Okay. A Magi is a wise man. It is an astronomer, astrologer. That's what they were. They were astronomers, astrologer. As a matter of fact, the Christians back in those days did not like them because they thought they were evil. Okay? They didn't approve of their astronomy and all this searching, and, you know, they probably didn't think they were wise or whatever. But it's amazing because God gave them a sign also, right? So this whole story, I mean, it's, to me, it's so amazing because this whole story is time and time again revealing himself not to the good churchy people, right? He didn't go to the biggest Catholic church and said, "Behold, Jesus is born," right? He didn't. He kept telling all these ordinary people. He chose all these ordinary people to show them the greatest blessing of all time. This baby, our Savior, being born. And so the Magi, They came and they're asking Herod, they're asking him, "Where is this? Where is the King of the Jews? We saw the star, we saw the sign, that big old star, we saw it. Where is he? We want to go and worship him." Right? Let's read on. Verse 3. Heard this, and all Jerusalem with him, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called to the Magi secretly and found out from them exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Stop right there. So that's another prophecy coming true of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And so King Herod, the Magi were asking him, "Where is he born? Where is he at?" And Herod asked his wise men, he asked his people, and they went back to the Old Testament and the prophecy that said in Bethlehem. And so he told the Magi, he told them where the prophecy had said. Now it says Herod was troubled. But he wasn't troubled because the Magi had told him, right? He wasn't troubled because, let me put it this way. He was troubled because the King of the Jews has been born. And this Herod, he was a no good king. He wasn't a good person. He was evil. He was evil. He was greedy. He was a bad king. And so he told them where they were, but then he said, "When you have found him, come tell me." Right? But he didn't want to go worship him. He wanted to go kill him. That's why he said, "Come tell me." This king wanted to destroy Jesus Christ. He wanted to destroy our Savior because he knew that he was the real king of all kings. And so he was afraid for his position. And that's another prophecy that was told back in the Old Testament, because what this king did, he ordered all the two-year-olds and under to be killed. And so they went out killing all these babies. He was afraid that the King of Kings was here, the King of all the Jews was here, and now he was going to lose his place. Now, it's amazing because it says right here, on verse 2, it says, where is the one who has been born King of Jews? The Magi asked, where is the one that has been born King of Jews? Now, get how amazing that is, because he didn't say, where is the one that is a baby and is going to be one day King of the Jews, right? It said, he's born. He's already King of the Jews. Amen? It didn't say one day he's going to be the king. It said he was born our king. He didn't become our king. He was born our king. He was born King of the Jews. And so let us read. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they turned to the country by another route. So these wise men, right, they were traveling and they saw the big star and they just followed it to Bethlehem, right? Right, the star was shining bright right up above where Jesus was born. Because God was giving them the signal. Now, there's all kinds of astronomers and all kinds of different people that have studied this. And they can't wrap their heads around them how this big star was shining bright where Jesus was born, leading these three wise men to Jesus. And so some say, well, there was a bunch of stuff that happened around that time. And so they think it was some worlds like colliding or comets or all these things, right? And so there's kind of evidence there of all these things happening at that time. Now, at the end, it doesn't matter because God was shining his light on our Savior, on our Jesus Christ, telling us that he had been born. And so these wise men, they come and they presented gifts. Now get this, because this is why people think there's three wise men, okay? We really don't know exactly how many wise men there were. But because they presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh, everybody always thinks there's three of them. They presented those three. We don't know how many wise men there were actually there. And now frankincense are high quality incense. They smell good, right? Very high quality. And myrrh, back in those days, myrrh was so valuable at those times that it was equal to the value of gold. Okay? Myrrh was used for so many things. It was used throughout history as perfumes, incense, and medicine. You can use it for all those things. And so they came and they gave him gifts. Now, this is why today we give gifts on this day. Now, let me tell you this, that we don't know exactly when Jesus Christ was born. We celebrated on the 25th that he was born. We don't know exactly his date of birth. Okay? Exactly. But we celebrate on that day. And it's fine to celebrate it. Some Christians, they get mad and they're like, well, no, it's not the right day. It doesn't matter. We're just celebrating how God, our Father, came to us as a baby to save us, right? Some people say that it was in the summer. Because if you go back to the census that was being told on Luke verse 1, it was said that they were producing a census. Now, back in those days in the census, you would have to travel by road, right? By feet, by donkey, by all those things. They didn't have four-wheel drives, so, and go knocking on doors, you know? So if it was in a very wintry, snowy season, it would be hard for them to get there. Regardless of what the day is, we're celebrating out of joy. We're saying, God, thank you for coming to us. And that's why we celebrate it. But I want you guys to know the real truth. That way you know. Amen? So when people tell you, oh, well, he wasn't born on that day. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right? It's kind of like an orphan. If you don't know your real birthday, we celebrate a birthday. You know, some people have done that. And that's great. Right? We celebrate it. For years growing up, I thought my birthday was all switched up too, so I didn't know exactly my real birthday. I don't know if I'm a year younger or a year older. I was so confused because my mom used to tell me, you're born in 80. No, you're born in 81. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter to me now. I know I'm getting older. That's basically it. Getting better looking. So after then, the wise men were told in a dream not to go back to Herod. God warned them, don't go back to Herod. He's an evil person. He's trying to kill our God, our Father, right? And so out of that, when Herod, I'm going to tell you real quick, when Herod noticed this, when he realized that they never came back and they never told him, right? That's when he ordered for all these kids to be killed. Now, God came to Joseph in a dream and told him, go to Egypt. Escape to Egypt. Herod died, right? And God told Joseph, go back. And he went back to Nazareth. And that's why it said he is a Nazarene, you know, a Nazarene. This is the greatest story ever told. Like I said, if I was going to be born, I would probably be born somewhere, I don't know, I think Paris maybe. I'll choose Paris somewhere. I don't know. I ain't never been there, but I see the commercials and stuff. So it looks pretty nice. I would choose somewhere real nice, right? And how amazing is that? Like I said, God, Jesus wasn't born. He didn't come to the church people. They were too religious at that time. You know, he didn't say, here, this is Jesus. He didn't come to the church. He didn't come to the big synagogues. He was born in a manger. People came to worship him and praise him in a manger. How crazy is that? Right? Think about it. So that lets you know right there, it's not the building that you need to worship at, praise at, it doesn't matter. These people came to him in a stinky manger, in a barn, and they worshiped God. Jesus was born right there with the animals, you know. There was probably sheep and goats and, I don't know, cows, goat milk, I don't know, horses, donkeys, you know. So Jesus was born right there. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. It's amazing how they, I mean, another way, they didn't have no drugs back in those days. She gave natural birth. Give my hats off to her. That's amazing right there, all by itself. It's amazing how women even do it. I don't get it. I'm not a woman. Thank God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. So, Jesus blessed this woman. He blessed this ordinary woman to do this great miracle, to have this great miracle. Jesus Christ, this virgin, this young lady, and God said, I choose her, right? He didn't choose the queen. He didn't choose one of the high priests, you know, all these people. He chose this ordinary woman, young lady, and God blessed her to bless us with the greatest miracle ever. Right? And he told this man, Joseph, stay with her, protect her. Right? This ordinary man, Joseph, to become a father figure, a father, a stepfather to our Savior. That is the very first role model of a stepfather right there is Joseph. So when people say there is no stepfathers, yes, there is. That's the very first stepfather role model right there, Joseph. And he protected this baby that he knew that was God's. It's amazing. He chose these two ordinary people to bring forth the greatest miracle ever told, the greatest story ever told, to come for us, to save us. Our Savior, our King, King of all kings, King of the Jews, King of everybody, ruler of all creation, of the world and everything, this baby that would be born to save all our sins. In closing, I'll tell you this. The greatest story ever told, Jesus our God, our Savior, our King, ruler of all creation, saw that we needed saving. Jesus came to earth, was born in a manger because they didn't have room for him. He was born in a manger. Amen? They rejected him and said, we have no room for you, Jesus. He came to save us from our sinful ways, leading us to hell. He raised up, was perfect sacrifice. He, for our sacrifice, our the perfect man, walked among this earth, our God, our Savior, and lived the sinless life to save us, to be the perfect sacrifice, to die on the cross for us. Right? He took our place and our punishment. He loved us that much. Isn't that the greatest story ever told? So, I'm going to ask you, do you have room for him in your heart? Do you have room for him in your heart? Will you accept him? Or will you reject him? Will you say, not now, Jesus. We have no room for you. I got too much going on. I have no room in my heart. Maybe later, right? That's what they said to him. We have no room for you, Jesus. And he came to save us. So do you have room for him in your heart? That is the question. He wants to build bigger relationships. He came to save us. He came that our lives may be better. First of all, he came to save us from our sins. You know, we deserve the punishment. But God up in heaven saw that we needed saving from our sins, and he said, me, God, being ruler of all, great in his kingdom, he's like, I'm going to go down there and save them. To the lowest of lows, I'm going to go down there for them. Become a man, be raised, and sacrifice for all your sins. He came to save us. He was and is to come. The greatest story ever told. That we need a Savior. And became a man, went through trials just like us, but he was perfect and sinless. He didn't sin. So, he saw that. Greatest story ever told. That's how much he loved us. And he wants to save us, but also for us to have an abundant life on this earth. To be the greatest thing that we can be. To do the greatest miracle. And don't ever think for once that he can't use you to do something great. Because he used Joseph. He used the people out there. He used the wise men. Okay. When none of the religious leaders liked the wise men. Okay. He used these shepherds. when probably none of the religious leaders would ever let these shepherds go into their church like that, dirty, filthy, right? That's amazing. Greatest story ever told. Amen? So, let us pray. So, that's his question to you is, do you have room for him in your heart today? And that's his question. He came to save us. He came to love us. He came to raise us. Amen. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord God. We just want to praise you. Thank you for coming, Lord God, for us. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. Thank you for our baby, Jesus, that was born in a filthy manger. You weren't afraid to get dirty for us, Lord God. You weren't afraid to go to the lowest of those places for our lives. That's how much you loved us. You could have stayed up in heaven. You could have been fine in your kingdom. But you loved us that much that you came on this earth, was born, people trying to kill you from birth. And so we want to thank you today, Lord God. And as we go to our families, we want to praise you, Lord God, this holiday, and let our kids know the meaning of Christmas, Jesus Christ was born. And it's okay if they get presents, and it's okay if we eat a lot and all those things, but we got to realize that the number one thing is Jesus Christ, and we can't forget that. So while every other thing in the world, they might just call it the holiday, and they take Christ out of the Christmas, Christ mass, right? But we want to thank you, Lord God. We want to praise you to know the true meaning and not to keep it to ourselves, but to tell the world about your love, about what Christmas is really about. So let us be your mighty disciples, Lord God. Use us and let your will be done, Lord God, that we may tell the world about you, that we may tell the world about your and what you have done for us to save us. We can do the same for them, Lord. We thank you in your precious. So open up our hearts, Lord God, and we want that we have room for you with open arms. So come into our hearts, come into our lives, be number one, control, Lord God. Upon our lives. You want to reveal yourself in a revelation upon these days, Lord God. And we know that. So we say yes to your will, Lord God. Yes, you bring forth your mighty power up like the angels, Lord God. Let your presence holy. You are God of all, ruler of all creation, savior of the world, Emmanuel with us. We thank you, we praise you.